Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
6:14 now. It's going to be warm and humid for the next couple of days, so we got that going for us too, which is not terrifically nice. Saints, of course, lose the Buccaneers last night. Mike Dettelier joins us, WWL NFL analyst, co-host of Sports Talk. How you doing, Mike?
I've been better, but yep. I'm okay this morning.
Yep. I don't even know where to start, Mike. I don't. You can start with 12 men on the field if you like. You can start with squandering a 40-yard punt return that doesn't happen often in the NFL and then wind up punting the ball away after that. You can talk about not catching the ball. I don't know. Jump in where you feel comfortable.
Yeah, it's finding a new way to lose. Mm-hmm. That's what bad teams do. They find a new way to lose. Losing's got a million fathers, so to speak.
Yep.
You can point back at numerous times in the game. Olave wide open drops a ball. Jarvis Landry. I've seen Jarvis make much tougher catches.
At that level, for what you're getting paid, you need to make that catch.
Yeah. Twelve men on the field.
That is unforgivable. That just
late in the game, and then. The pass out in the flat to Ingram, again, and that's going to be the most played of everything. And I know Dennis Allen made the comment that he hurt his knee on that play, but if you look, he runs straight out of bounds.
Yeah, I know.
And here's the worst part. You don't get the first, but you also run out of bounds kill the clock. So, you can go back. That's just about five or six plays in a row. You had them, and you left them off the hook. And you gave one more bullet in the chamber to a guy who's done this numerous times. And, again, it goes right back to what we have spoke about the last couple weeks. Bad teams find a way to lose games, and that's what you got right now.
You know, bad teams are composed – of bad players, not necessarily, because here's the thing that's driving me crazy watching this game last night, Mike. How are you going to teach Jarvis Landry to catch a football at this stage? Are you going to teach Taysom Hill to catch a football, really? Chris Olave, are you going to teach him? And my mind's trying to figure out, identify the problem here. Are you teach Mark Ingram, really you got to be more game aware and you can't go out of bounds and you got to suck it up and take that one extra step. I don't even know how you begin to correct this. I really don't. I know that successful head coaches, and I don't know what's going on in that locker room, but the most important territory that successful head coaches navigate and control is the space between the ears of the players and then the collective space between the ears of the team, right? That's what the head coach does. And I don't know if that's getting done or not.
I don't know either. I'm not in that locker room, but – you see situational plays, and that's what I would call it. Okay, you got opportunities, and you're not going to make all of them. Okay, this it's an imperfect world, but you got to make some of them, and the good teams make them, and the bad teams don't. Okay, and there's no excuses at this point. Okay, that's this deep into the season. And it's a continuous pattern of not making the plays in situational times when you had that opportunity. And easy to blame the head coach and the quarterback. Those two get most of the heat on it.
I don't know how anybody can blame Andy Dalton for anything.
It's time for Jameis Winston to play.
Mike, if you take away the drops, he's 23 for 28. I don't know how many yards, probably had 60 yards onto that for 289. I don't know what the long would have been if that would have changed. He had a quarterback rating of 107.6. Brady was 84. And if he has those three completions, that's a meth thing. I don't know how that quarterback rating would work, but I got to believe it would go up. I don't know by how much. So don't even begin. Y'all, please. Please, for the love of God,
you're gonna hear
and
it,
everything,
Tommy,
and everything
you.
That's holy, and for everything in this world, don't blame Andy Dalton. Please don't do that. For the love of God, Andy Dalton shooing Trevor Penning off the field to avoid another 12-man in a huddle thing. It looked like late in the game.
I agree with you, but there's a non-connect here, and you can see however you want to call it. That's a disconnect, and because teams change from year to year, so that's another thing. People, man, they had a board meeting back in 2018, 2019, and this is when this team started to sort of peel apart. No, every year you have anywhere from 17 to 25 new players on the team. It's how you construct it, okay?
And that's going into it. With injuries, the number goes up from there. With practice squad players, some of these guys, I don't know who
correct.
They are. Yeah.
And so you have to be able to make it all connect. Because injuries are going to happen.
Yep.
Bad things are going to happen, but you got to overcome it. Now, again, when we've talked about this with the NFC South, it's the hot potato kind of situation.
You take it.
No one really wants it.
Exactly.
I don't want it. You want it? You want it? Now, looking at the Bucks last night, convince me that they're a really good football team.
No, absolutely not.
They won the game, but you sort of handed it to them. And this is what you see bad teams do. They snatch victory right away from themselves.
Snatch defeat from the jaws of victory, right?
That's correct.
All right, let's take a break. We'll pick it up here. We come back, Mike. I got to believe that Alvin Kamara must be hurt or something, because there is just no lightning there at all. You can talk about that when we come back and more. Y'all got any questions, comments, 504-260-1870. What's so frustrating about this as well is that the Saints were +2 in turnovers last night, right? Forcing two
That's
turnovers.
True.
And you still lose a game. We'll be back. 621 traffic now, WWL. 627, Tommy Tucker, WWL, Mike Dettelier, WWL NFL analyst, co-host of Sports Talk, our guest. I see a tweet from Jeff Asher, who is an analytics guy. He says, facing 4th-and-1 or 2 while tied or leading, Sean Payton between 2019 and 2022 went for it 20 of 23 times. Dennis Allen has faced that situation 5 times and has kicked 5 field goals. I do think for that statistic to be I'd like to know how successful Sean Payton was in picking it up when he went for it 20 of 23 times. I don't know if that tells me that in that text or not, but is there a point to be made there about the conservatism of Dennis Allen or the calls being made as head coach or a defensive guy? Jump in wherever you feel comfortable with that.
Man, Sean kicked field goals too. Yeah. I mean, so, yeah, I you know, listen, there's a lot of analytical data out there one way or another. This kind of series, how the game got away from you, really, came down to the Ingram pass that he goes out of bounds. Mm-hmm. And then on a 3rd-and-1, you throw the football to Marquez Callaway.
For the first time in the game.
What kind of genius call is that? So you stop the clock, you know, again, and give the Bucks the most precious thing that they needed at that time, time, you know. So twice, back-to-back situations, you stop the clock, you know, and give the Bucks really what they so desperately needed, because the clock ticking away. you don't have enough time, you know, to do it, you know, to come back. And again, you can go back and there's about a dozen, six, seven, eight plays where you say, you make that play, game's over with. But those two plays are going to stick out big time.
One thing I...
Because what you did is you killed the clock for them and gave an opportunity.
I'm trying to look at the play-by-play here to see if he was under center on that play. Here's the point. I don't know why teams, when it's third and one or short one, go in a shotgun. Because then you starting with the ball 6 yards back. Why do you do that, Mike? I never did get that. Do you?
I got no idea. And you see it near the goal line.
Yes. Yeah, why?
That's
why,
even dumber.
You got the ball 6 inches away from the goal line, so the first thing we're going to do is start the play 6 yards away. That drives me, the casual football fan, crazy. Mike Dettillier crazy. I don't get that. I really don't. It's like, man, just sneak and push the pile. That's all you got to do. Just keep pushing the pile. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Mike Dettillier, our guest, 504-260-1870. Your thoughts when we return right now. Time for WWO First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan. I can tell you this. You would think, you know, I'm sure the Saints got pride as a professional athlete, as professional athletes collectively, and I got to believe that they were embarrassed last night about the show that they put on national TV, or if Monday Night Football is indeed national TV on ESPN. Mark Ingram tweeting, "I'm sick about this one. Regardless of circumstances or how I feel, I have to get that fresh set of downs for the squad. I apologize to my teammates, my coaches, and my city for a crucial mistake. We work way too hard and sacrifice blood, sweat, and tears. I will be better." And Mike, I keep watching this play over and over and over again, and I'm trying to find an excuse for it or a reason why, and I just it's just unfathomable. I don't understand. You just one more step. You wouldn't even been. Well, I could have done it. You could have done it. No, you don't even get hit. You just take one more step. And when you think about these super athletic receivers that sometime reach the ball over just to get the first down, I don't know if that's situational awareness. I don't know what it is. Thoughts?
Yeah. Again, it's almost unexplainable at this stage. But that is that's what happens when, you know, again, a bad team finding a way to lose. Those are the type plays that occur. And you see it. All these players have pride. You know, because you hear a lot of foolishness that, you know, they don't have pride and everything. No, they got pride. But sometimes that mental awareness of where you're at out on the field and what you've done for a long time, it escapes you for whatever reason. And okay, Mark Ingram's played a ton of football
Heisman
games at the
winner.
NFL level,
right?
A ton of games, yeah, at this level, and you understand sort of where you got to get to. The other part is running out of bounds. And again, I bring that up because at that stage, the one thing that's keeping the heart beating is the fact that eventually, you know, you're going to run out of time. And then the next play, what do? You throw an incomplete pass on a third and one.
Mike.
So, you do what you do best. You line up in a heavy power set, and you let Taysom Hill run the ball.
I've watched this 8-second clip literally 100 times during a break, and I keep watching it. And Devin White, 46 for Tampa Bay, really had conceded the first time down. He was giving it to Ingram, pretty much. Because he was running laterally with him. It's not like Devin White had taken a good angle to the ball and knock him out of bounds or anything. He pretty well conceded it.
That part is difficult. And, again, I've seen it over and over and over again where you see Devin White sees the play, and then he also sees Ingram running out of bounds.
Yeah.
Not trying to do is to get a hit on him that he could be called for a penalty.
Yeah. I don't know. We knew there would be days. Here's the thing that bothers me. We knew there would be days when Sean and Drew were gone. We knew that. But this kind of these kinds of things, I don't know where that mindset's coming from. I don't. Is there not enough attention to Details, situational awareness. I hate to go back to basics and fundamentals of looking a ball into your hands and all of that kind of thing, but it kind of makes you wonder.
It certainly does. It certainly does make you wonder a little bit. But again, it goes back to when you're not mentally sharp here in these type situations. Understanding the situation that you're in, and you've done it, okay? All these guys from high school to college into the pros, we're not talking about a rookie doing this. We're not talking about a rookie doing this. And those two plays,
but this is
a microcosm of the entire season.
Yeah, but this is just so basic, Mike. This is not like some obscure rule with the LSU field goal or,
nope.
or you know, I don't know. Where do we go from here? Because I don't know what to say. I don't know if you heard it or not, but I was telling Courtney and Ian what hurt so bad about this one is, I guess I had kind of deluded myself into thinking, well, you know, if they win here, and then you got the bye week, and then you get some people back, and you get a little bit healthy. Well, hell, you got a home game if you win the division. Who knows what could happen from there with at least getting the playoffs? You get the home field advantage for that first game, and you know what I mean? You just pee it away. You just gave the whole damn thing away. Because
when you look at it, it is very similar to 2014. Carolina won the division. The NFC South with a 7-win, 8-loss, 1-tie record. They won the final four games of the year to win the NFC South. That's how they won it. The Saints were 7-9 that year. So it has a lot of similar rings to it because that's what you were looking at. No one seemed to want it. Everybody's had opportunities to kind of roll with this, and it's kind of flipped around with the hot potato deal. You got it, I got it, somebody else has got it. But basically, that sort of ended it. Because when you look at the Bucs schedule down the stretch, you can say the Saints, you know, playing Philly, playing Cleveland, in Cleveland, those are tough games. But look what the Bucs have to play in Cincinnati and San Francisco. Okay, they ain't giving games either. But again, you sort of blown that opportunity. You blew the opportunity last night. However you want to cut it, and now when you're winning, the bye week seems like 2 days. It's almost like vacation. Man, it passes so fast; it's over with. But when you lose, the kind of 2 week run. It seems like 2 months because you want to get back out on the field and play, but that's not the deal. It just isn't. So that's what you're looking for at this stage. Yeah, you were getting healthy, and for 3.5 quarters, you really couldn't ask your defense to play any better than what they played. You really couldn't. It came apart at the end, but for 3.5 quarters, they did what. It was almost deja vu. We've seen it before up against Brady and the Bucs. He admitted it after the game about how difficult it is to play this defense. And they were giving him fits. But you open that door just a little bit for that type player, and I don't care if he's 45 or not, he can still hit the dagger on you. And yeah, that's what occurred last night. But, man, the bye week will last forever when you're losing. Last forever.
So, you know, mathematically, the Saints are still alive. I think Tampa Bay would have to lose every game. The Saints would have to win every game. Some other stuff would have to happen. It's just, it's not, you know, I think we pretty well forget about that. What do you look for? We only got a minute left here, Mike. Now we'll listen to your second guest this afternoon. You know, what do you look for in the last four games? Who still wants to play? Who's not? Who's got pride? Who doesn't?
Yeah, because... You know, the eye in the sky don't lie. And I don't care if it's your whatever situation that you're in. If you want this as a career and to extend it.
Here.
You playing your butt off. Here or somewhere else.
That's true.
Because I'm watching, too.
Yep.
If I'm an opposing team, And you understand that's going to be a reset in the offseason.
Mike, for people that are texting in about Dennis Allen, I don't think the Saints make a change, do you? I'm just talking about, I'm not saying whether they should or not. I'm just saying the organization,
during,
as I perceive it to be. Well, even offseason, I don't know. What do you think?
Now, that's a different story.
Definitely not during the season.
Come on, that's useless.
It's stupid. Right?
It doesn't do anything for your football team during the season. You're going to have a long look at this during the offseason and see. Or ask yourself the question, are you better off today than you were a year ago?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, real quick. and what do we do to get it better? Because it's an architectural situation now. What did we do wrong to build this team?
That's how my mind works. Mike, that's what's driving me crazy. It's like these blocks with the organizational chart, the flow chart of if this, then that, and why this, and how that.
That's right.
We'll be listening this evening today at 4 o'clock. Thank you, Mike. Second guest, Bobby Hebert, Mike Dottillier, live in the Silver Slipper Casino, your host on the coast. I'll talk Saints Bucks. Take your calls on the Saints, then the Saints Coaches Show at 6:30 with Bobby Hebert, Mike Haas, going deep with Saints head coach Dennis Allen, running backs coach Joel Thomas on the Community Coffee Saints Radio Network. And then at 7:30, Mike and Bobby back with more Second Guest, WWL, and live on the free Odyssey app. Traffic now, 654 WWL.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.